Did we just miss our chance of keeping warming below 1.5 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels? And why did private renewable companies pay New York politicians to oppose a climate bill? Welcome to the Climate Recap from the Beckosphere Climate Corner, your go-to place for international and U.S.-based climate news. I'm Becky Hogue, a science writer. Today is Friday, June 10th. Let's jump right into the news you need to start your day. Let's start with some climate victories. The United Kingdom's Environment Agency set out a new four-year roadmap to increase flood and climate resiliency. It builds on existing progress of making homes and transportation infrastructure more flood resilient, maximizing the use of nature to enhance flood and coastal resilience, enhancing flood warning systems and emergency procedures, and improving flood recovery processes. The government has put about £5.2 billion towards this effort. In North America, Canada launched a greenhouse gas offset credit system to reduce emissions. The system comes with rules of what constitutes a tradable carbon offset credit and what doesn't. It still seems like this plan heavily relies on companies giving money to carbon capture projects, like the ones that take emissions from landfills. Landfill emissions account for about 7% of Canada's total emissions output. The government says protocols for offsets for four other sectors, including forest management and agriculture, are still underway. Canada's goal is to drop emissions by 40 to 45% below 2005 levels by 2030. Over in the United States, the Biden administration just floated draft regulations to create uniform standards for federal electric vehicle charging stations. This way, the charging stations will be more reliable with similar prices, charging speeds, and payment methods. President Biden has a goal to deploy 500,000 publicly available EV charging stations by 2030, and the infrastructure bill passed last year allocates $5 billion to this effort. The Department of Energy also announced a $504.5 million loan guarantee to go to the Advanced Clean Energy Storage Project in Utah. This is the first loan guarantee given to a clean energy project technology from the DOE Loan Programs Office since 2014. This will help finance the construction of the world's largest green hydrogen storage facility, which will be used to help generate electricity. The office still has $2.5 billion in loan guarantees to dole out. And California has committed $300 million to help tackle methane leaks. $200 million will go towards helping plug idle leaking wells, while $100 million will go towards methane detecting satellites to help track methane leaks in fossil fuel operations, landfills, and agriculture. California aims to cut methane emissions by 40% by 2030. Methane is 84 times a more potent greenhouse gas than CO2 for the first 20 years they're in the atmosphere. I said 82 yesterday, but it's actually 84. Now for a long list of climate fails, mentally prepare yourself. According to the Climate Action Tracker, the lack of global desire to transition faster away from fossil fuels might be the nail in the coffin to keep warming below 1.5 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels. We are currently at 1.1 degrees Celsius of warming. Keeping the warming below this point is important to avoid the worst climate impacts we can expect to see from global warming, particularly in emerging economies. Coral reefs face a complete die-off past 1.5 degrees Celsius of warming. While countries have shown a bit more acceleration of clean energy projects, many are still heavily supporting and subsidizing new fossil fuel projects despite fossil fuel companies already having project permits that they're just sitting on. New liquefied natural gas, or LNG, plants are expected to be built in Germany, Italy, Greece, the Netherlands, Canada, the US, Qatar, Egypt, Algeria, Nigeria, Senegal, and others. Most of those Middle Eastern and African countries are on the list to satiate demand from Europe and North America. We're basically repeating the mistakes we made during the COVID recovery period. Sweden, Japan, Korea, Austria, Germany, Poland, the Czech Republic, Croatia, Italy, Spain, Portugal, New Zealand, the Netherlands, France, and several US states are giving tax cuts to petrol and diesel despite fossil fuel companies producing record profits and still keeping prices high. Only Denmark plans to reduce fossil fuel subsidies and issue a carbon tax when gas prices start going down, which is the right time to do it because while gas prices will decrease more slowly from this, they won't be increasing. Some countries have begun issuing a windfall tax to fossil fuel companies like Italy, Spain, Bulgaria, Romania, and the UK. We need countries to instigate behavior changes that decrease fossil fuel consumption, like encouraging people to drive slower and less often, work from home if they can, not drive in cities, and turn down their home thermostats. But few countries are incentivizing these habits. So far, only California, New Zealand, Italy, Germany, and Ireland have produced incentives for public transportation. And the EU, UK, and Japan are pushing for faster adoption of heat pumps, electric vehicles, and overall electrification. But these efforts have still been insufficient. That was just a summary of the Climate Action Tracker's results. If you want to read more about how your country is falling short, click the source link. I guess our next goal, if 1.5 degrees Celsius is unreachable, is 1.8 degrees Celsius. We're currently on track to hit, I think, 2.7 degrees Celsius. Speaking of encouraging new fossil fuel projects, the UK gave permission for new drilling in the countryside south of London to establish a new gas field there. The Surrey County Council managed to block UK oil and gas's Loxley project since 2020. But the government has gone above their heads now in the name of increasing domestic production to reduce the energy crisis. The problem is, it takes years for new projects to actually start producing any output. So using the argument of short-term relief doesn't really work. Either way, the company expects to start work on the site next year. Meanwhile, a report commissioned by Drax Group shows that the UK wasted enough power from wind turbines to power 800,000 homes in 2020 and 2021. Instead of installing battery storage or upgrading the grid to take in that power, the UK chose to shut off wind turbines during excess power supply to stabilize the grid. And the cost of turning off turbines went up by 70% between those years, costing £507 million last year. That cost was felt by consumers in the form of higher energy prices. This is all just so backwards, and the UK is not the only country that does this. In the US, the House Committee on Science, Space, and Technology reported that oil and gas companies are leaking more methane in the Permian Basin than they are reporting to the Environmental Protection Agency. The report says fossil fuel companies need to adopt tougher emission surveillance measures, which was sent in a letter to the top 10 fossil fuel companies in the area. Currently, the EPA requires fossil fuel companies to check for leaks twice a year. Meanwhile, a federal court appeal upheld an 8-year prison sentence for a climate activist who vandalized Dakota Access Pipeline construction sites, calling it an act of terrorism. In 2021, Jessica Resnicek pled guilty to the charge of conspiracy to damage an energy facility, though she tried to appeal the act being called terrorism because she said she acted against a private company. The court disagreed with her. In New York, Democrats with pockets full of fossil fuel and private renewable money killed the state's renewable energy bill at the last minute. The Build Public Renewables Act would have limited the state's public utility, the New York Power Association, to build and finance renewable projects and get the state's energy supply to 100% renewable energy by 2030. While this is one of the easier ways to get the state to switch to clean energy, both large fossil fuel-focused utility companies and private renewable companies paid politicians to oppose the bill because they didn't want their market power reduced. And in Texas, an explosion occurred at the Freeport LNG plant, causing the plant to be shut down for 3 weeks. No injuries were reported, but this is a major plant that accounts for about 20% of U.S. LNG processing. Let's finish today with some chemical news. The Center for Environmental Health and the Center for Biological Diversity are suing the EPA for the smog in Sacramento and Los Angeles, California, as well as in the state of New Hampshire. The groups allege the ozone levels, ozone produces smog, are above the 2008 ozone national ambient air quality standards for those areas. The EPA was supposed to implement new federal plans to cut down on smog in 15 states and DC by 2019, but the groups say they never implemented those rules in California and New Hampshire. And that was your climate news for Friday, June 10th. Sorry it was so depressing. If you like the work I do, please follow this podcast, give it a 5-star rating, leave a review, and consider checking out the Becosphere Climate Corner YouTube channel. Remember to talk about the climate crisis every single day and to support your local news organizations. Bye for now.